gathered in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to lift up praises to his holy and righteous name. And that song that Grant led us a few minutes ago really kind of got me, you know, just that idea that you were despised, you were rejected. Those who passed by even averted their gaze from the sight. Such was the suffering of the one who died for us. But God has highly exalted, isn't he? Enthroned him at the right hand. Now he intercedes for us. He pleads on our behalf. And when we belong to him, we are enriched in every way. We have grace upon grace. We are filled with the abundance of the riches that belong to Jesus Christ. They now are given to us. Amen? Amen. That is the great thing we celebrate when we come into this place every week. The great gift of Jesus Christ. And we'll be gathering around the table here in a few minutes to remember him in the Lord's Supper. This morning we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is a long chapter. It is a complex chapter in the Bible. Not only is it complex, it's fraught with some difficult interpretational issues that interpreters and scholars still try to sort out. It is written as a response to questions that Paul had received about marriage. The only problem is we don't have what those questions are. We have the answers. Have you ever gone to a website where it says frequently asked questions? Imagine going to that page and you have the answer, but you don't necessarily have the question that was asked. And you're kind of having to figure out what was the question. And for most of these things, the way that Paul answers them, it's pretty clear what he was being asked. In other areas, maybe not so clear. And so it's a difficult text. So I'm going to do something different today with this. Not because I'm afraid of getting into the nitty-gritty, although it would take a long time, and it would probably be more setting, a Bible class setting would probably be better to get into some of the details of this. But I'm doing something different today because as I've wrestled with this text and I've thought about our church, and as I read back through this text, more and more people came to my mind that this applies to. More and more people came to my mind in our congregation that are hurting right now in regard to their marriage. More and more people that maybe aren't married but want to be married came to my mind. People who are widowed and hurting. People who are abandoned and lonely. And frankly, I don't know what to say to you to bring you comfort. But I know that the Holy Spirit does. And so what I would like to do this morning is to call us as a church to pray through 1 Corinthians 7. And let the Holy Spirit minister to us as he sees fit. And I don't know if this is going to work or not. I think it is. I think it's going to work. But I've been asking God to work all week in this. And so bear with me today. What I would like for us to do is that I'm going to read a portion of 1 Corinthians 7. And then I'm going to pray a pastoral prayer over that. And then when I conclude, I'm going to ask you to pray silently where you are And I'm going to pray in general for the church, but I want you to pray silently, specifically for people that you know of that are dealing with the situation that we've just read through. And intercede for your brothers and your sisters who are hurting in this particular area or who need help. And then after a minute or so of that silent prayer, we will sing a song that will transition us to the next text. And then we'll keep doing that all throughout chapter 7. Okay? I promise you it won't be too weird. Okay? But I pray that it will be something that will guide us into prayer on behalf of one another for these important things. And the song that I picked for our transitions is the song that kept coming to me as I was reading this text and studying for this sermon. And it's that old hymn that just says, I need thee every hour. And sometimes when I'm writing a sermon, songs come to me. This is the one that came to me. God, we need you right now in this place, in this hour, regarding our marriages. And so that'll be our transition song. Grant will lead that in between the different sections. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Please take this seriously. Pray for one another. Let the Holy Spirit guide your prayers this morning. First Corinthians 7, 1 through 7. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We honor and glorify your name in this place. We acknowledge that you are the God who made marriage in the first place. You created this beautiful relationship between a man and a woman. And you designed it to be the closest, most intimate kind of relationship, where we share our emotions and our hearts, our dreams, and we even share our bodies with one another. And that this helps with the oneness that you desire for us in marriage. And Lord, I know that many couples, however, struggle with their intimacy. They struggle for a variety of reasons, whether it's past experiences of abuse or guilt or shame or fear. And Satan uses those things to keep couples from being together in the way that you have designed. And so I pray earnestly for the marriages in our church and for those who may struggle with intimacy. Help them, God. Help them as they are together spiritually to pray with one another, for one another, and to grow in their relationship in Christ together. And help them, Lord, as the temptations outside of the marriage can be strong if intimacy is not a part of the relationship. Lord, I pray for strength. I pray against the wandering eye. I pray against relationships outside of the marriage covenant that could turn into something harmful. And I pray that couples will be together in you. So bless those who struggle with their intimacy. I pray now that you hear the silent prayer of this congregation.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Your tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
To the married, I give this charge. Not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband. But if she does, she should remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce his wife. Father in heaven, help us to embrace Jesus' radical vision for marriage as a lifelong commitment, as a covenant not to be broken. Help us to realize how serious the marriage bond is, that it's something created by you and is not to be broken lightly, but it's something that you call us to maintain because you have created the oneness. I pray for couples in our church that are struggling, for those that may even be thinking about divorce. I pray that you will call them back to your word. You'll call them back to teaching of your Son, who is now at your right hand and who is Lord, that you will convict them to get help, either counseling or encouragement from others who struggled and have made it through. And I pray, Father, for those couples that they will be strong. They will not be driven by the cultural pressures that tell lies about it's all about being happy and whatever makes you happy and things like that, Lord, that have been so part of our culture for the last 30 or 40 years. Help them not to believe the lie, but to listen to the truth. And Father, I pray for those who may have experienced this separation or divorce, and there's still a chance for reconciliation. that will be on their hearts and minds and at the top of their list of priorities to seek reconciliation just like you sought reconciliation with us. May we as a church be people who help those who are struggling in their marriages so that they can make that good and hard, courageous choice to work through problems rather than to run from them. And may we be a people who honor you in our marriages. Please hear now the silent prayer of this congregation. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask now that you will help those in our midst who are married to a non-Christian spouse and who struggle with that. Maybe in small ways, maybe in great ways. And I know, Father, from observation and conversations that it can be a great challenge to not be on the same page spiritually and to be constantly drawn away sometimes from the church or from godly things by a spouse who doesn't know you and doesn't understand the faith that we have. But I know, Father, that you have provided strength for those in these situations, and that you will provide it for them. And so we ask that you will help them in this situation that they find themselves in. That they will be a light to their spouse. That somehow, some way, maybe tomorrow, maybe years from now, that spouse can come to know you. And who knows what could happen with this kind of godly example that could be lived out before them. And so please be with those in our midst that are dealing with a non-believing spouse. Help them to hang in there, to be strong, to find strength from others who may have the same experience and have lessons to share, wisdom to share with them. And I pray that the church can come alongside and be sensitive to those who are dealing with that every day. And be with them and strengthen them, Lord, and keep them assured that you love them and care for them, that they're not second-class citizens, their children aren't second-class citizens in the church, and that you love them and care for them. It's in Christ that I pray. Please hear now our silent prayer on behalf of those with non-Christian spouses.
I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant then when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who is called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I lift up to you to those in our midst that struggle to fit in. Who have a tough time making friends in the church, who wonder if there's something about them that's off and that keeps them from being connected. I pray for those who struggle with their identity, with their ethnicity or race or color or other social identity markers. Help them find their identity in Christ. Help them to see that they were bought with a price. The price was your son, And that because of that, they can have confidence and know that they have value that is deep. That you love them deeply. No matter what society says, no matter what our culture says, you love them. Help them realize that you have accepted them, whether rich or poor, smart or dull, fat or slim, outgoing or introverted, good job or bad job, in debt or out of debt, disabled or able-bodied, and that you have accepted them. And help us to be a church that reaches out to those who struggle to fit in. To reach outside our own friend group and pull those in who need fellowship in Christ. To offer no favoritism in the church. To be a friend of the lowly and the hurting. To open our eyes to people who need to be befriended in this place. So be with us, Lord, as a church. Please hear our silent prayer. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. If the appointed time has grown very short, from now on let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. and his interests are divided, and the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit, but the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart, to let her as his betrothed, to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then, he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, teach us to be people who live as if your Son is returning today, to treat the things of this life as things that pass away, to not be so wrapped up in our 401k size or our job success or other worldly things that we forget that all of that in a moment will pass away and that your Son is coming. May we live as people who are expecting him and look for his appearing and love his appearing and long for it. And Lord, yes, we go about our daily lives being married and all these things, but Lord, may we view all of that in the light of eternity. Father, I pray for those in our midst that are engaged to be married, or those who are considering being married, that you will give them wisdom from you, that they will discern well what marriage is, that they will understand your will for it, that it will not be entered in upon lightly, but with much prayer and consideration and thought and wise counsel. I pray that you will help family and church family around those who are engaged to give wise counsel and encouragement during this most important time. Be with those, Father, who are dating and are experiencing the temptations sexually that come when you grow closer to someone of the opposite sex. Help them to stay pure. Help them to place boundaries in their relationship that help protect their purity and honor God with their bodies so that they do not fall into sexual sin at a time when they are working toward marriage. So, Father, be with those in our midst who are planning to be married. Please hear our prayer for them now. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we come before you, and we ask you to be with the singles in our congregation. Give them the strength and the power to honor God with their singleness. Help them to realize that they are not second-class citizens in our congregation. They are called to serve you with their time and their energy, and they are greatly valued in our midst. Use them with their time and energy to benefit the kingdom of God. Be with those who are widows, Lord, and who struggle greatly with the loneliness that they experience, whether their husband has just recently passed or whether it's been years, but the pain is still there. Give them strength. Give them encouragement. Give them community and help them, Lord. I pray that we as a church will be encouraging to those who are widows and singles, that we will reach out to them and encourage them, and to not be so wrapped up in the married culture that we forget those around us that are not married and may never be married. And may we never send the message that that married state is somehow superior. I thank you for the singles in this church who are serving with boldness and courage and strength. Give them strength and bless them today. Please hear our silent prayer.
Grant that all may seek and find the
participating in that time of prayer. Now I want to just urge us all to be prayerful about the marriages in our churches. Make it part of your regular thing that you pray for. Look at the directory. Pray for people. Pray for singles. Pray for widows. Pray for married. Pray for those who are young and dating. And just lift them up to God. And if God puts it on your heart to encourage in another way, do that as well. We're going to sing a song in a moment, and if there's some need that you have, maybe it's been prompted by something in the scripture today. Maybe you just need a special moment of prayer in a public setting. Maybe there's something you need to confess. That is something that God provides for, confession of sin, which then releases that burden that's on your shoulders. Sometimes it needs to be public. A lot of times it can be private. Sometimes it needs to be public because it's a public kind of thing. If that's something you can do now as we stand and sing this song in a minute. But I also want to encourage you that if there's been something today that's prompted you and you need to talk to somebody about it, do it. Okay? If I've poked a place in you today that's a little bit sore, talk to somebody about it. Get wise counsel about it. Come to me. Come to Howard. Come to one of our elders. Come to somebody else that you know has godly things to say and help you with. But don't leave that there. God has given the church people who can help you with things related to what we read about today.